Thank you. Well, good morning. At Christopher Brahia, pardon? Oh, the kids can go out, yes. Have an awesome time, guys. I think lots of fun and stuff going on for you this morning. And bless you that are leading them and teaching them. May you have much wisdom, peace and grace this morning. So Christopher Brahia, probably quite a few have heard him speak at various places, no? Oh, very impressive man. I would bring friends along to hear him. He's very good. I'm looking forward to hearing him next week. Interesting. As I was preparing earlier in the week, the Lord impressed upon me this whole thing about seeing him really. What do we see? And then Ty came back from the prayer meeting saying that there was this sort of word coming through about us seeing. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe there's something in this. Or not seeing, yeah. So, you know, do you believe this statement that actually seeing is believing? I guess our perception is our reality. If I feel if I meet someone and I feel I can trust them, I'll probably open myself up to them. And if I don't think I can see that in them, then I won't. So what we see or believe will impact actually what we do and how we interact with other people. And I guess in that seeing, though, we need to sort of think about, are we seeing correctly? And I think maybe that's something that's coming through today. Are we seeing everything there is to see? Do we really understand what it is we're seeing? So my whole week of preparing for today actually started off when I saw a picture, and it made me start to think about what do I see. Now, if you've seen this on Facebook, please don't yell out the answer, but I'm just wanting to think, what do you see when you see that? I thought it was this microscopic picture of a thorn coming out of a plant, something like that. Any thoughts? If you don't know the real answer, do you? Okay. Top of the class. Yes, it is. That's actually the space shuttle Endeavour trying to leave Earth's atmosphere to get up into the orbit. So that's a bank of clouds going through that. But when I looked at that, I thought, what's that? I'm thinking it's something microscopic. It's actually not zooming in, it's zooming out to capture it. But unless you are actually told what it is, you've actually got no idea. They think there was a training flight, an Endeavour training. How did Josh get it? Yeah, how did you get it? That's what it looks like. So some of us see things more clearly. That's why we need each other, isn't it? Yeah. What's that? It's very clearly the shuttle. Is that right? Well, that's probably a good example of how we actually need to hear each other, isn't it? When we do see things, or look at scripture even, you know. What do you see here? You know, we might have to listen to our young ones a bit more. They could be on, maybe this is a part of what's coming out this morning. You guys can rise up, like the sound of that. So we don't always know what it is we're looking at. And I guess at this time of year, there are lots of, pictures of the crucifixion. And what do people see? I guess, but obviously, back in the context of when it happened, people who looked at it thought, what an absolute disgrace, because here's a man who's hanging naked. I mean, we're always nice and modest in our Hollywood depictions, but he would have been naked, hanging there, blood streaming down. And here's a man who claimed to be God and King of the Jews, and he agreed with that claim. And he's amongst the worst of the criminals, because only the worst criminals got crucified. They would have looked at him and thought, he must be the lowest of the low. He's amounted to nothing. he's a fraud. He can't be who he says he is because he's up there and he has nothing to do with me and I don't want anything to do with him. And then the empty tomb. People at the time thought, well, there must be some conspiracy going on. They've taken his body, they're trying to either say he did rise from the dead and now they've taken his body, or the Romans have taken him to sort of kill off any sort of further story of what's going on. Actually, at work this week, I was teaching nursing students and I work with a young girl who's also a tutor, and she's not a Christian, and she said, oh, what are you going to do over Easter? And I said, oh, I don't really know. I said, oh, well, Sunday I'll have church, you know. And I said, oh, I'm trying to get my sermon together now, actually. And I said, oh, what do you think I should say? I always like to throw that out there just to get someone. She said, I have no idea. And she said, oh, you know, what she's going to do, she's going to do some extra nursing work because you get penalty rates over the weekend. So her and her husband will, in different professions where they can get penalty rates. So that's what they're going to do. That's what they think about the Easter weekend, is actually getting more work. So some people look at all this and think they've got no clue. They're seeing it. They see all these images, but because it hasn't been explained to them, like our previous thorn or space shuttle, unless you know, people have got no clue. And they're seeing it, but they're not seeing it correctly. Jesus is fully aware of our ability to miss it. And even those who in his day were trying to look in the right places to find the truth and to see things well, they still were missing it. To the Jews, he said, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life, and these are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So they were trying to find and look at things, but they still couldn't see correctly. They couldn't get the real truth out of it. They couldn't see and get to see it was about Jesus. When we were at the primary school, connecting with the kids there at Darlington Primary and getting the opportunity to really love on them, it was great on that last day to be able to hand them a story about Easter. And I was really, it's interesting, you know, the cover of the book, it isn't like the Easter story, like let's tell you about Easter. It's the seriously surprising story. And I thought that's really interesting because that's exactly what it is. It's seriously surprising because what God, this is supposed to be a story about God's love for us, but it's about this guy dying on a cross and he's rising. And God's doing things in a way that we would never expect him to do. So for those who've never come in contact with God or are trying to figure him out, it's kind of like, this is really such a surprise that he would go to such lengths. This is the type of God he really is. And so the story, the seriously surprising story, what it does, it captures the story about what happens after the resurrection of Jesus. So he's died on the cross, he's risen, the disciples have just found out he's not in the tomb. Where is he? They're totally perplexed. So these are the guys that hung out with him. Don't understand. Were seeing Jesus in the flesh, right in front of their noses, and still didn't really see. Gee, you know, you kind of think for us, we really need help too. There they had Jesus right in front of them. They still didn't know. They're on the road to Emmaus. They're walking away from Jerusalem. Sad, perplexed, got no idea, anxious, what's going on, you know, there's hopelessness. And Jesus turns up and he gets the opportunity to say, hey guys, you have missed it. Let me show you. And so Jesus, he's beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explains to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. So they needed help. They needed help, God's help, to see what his word was really saying. So it's pretty obvious that on our own, left to our own devices, we don't have a clue. We all need God's help to bring things into focus for us. And it's only through the lens of Jesus that the whole of the Bible, all of Scripture, really makes sense and brings a consistency to what we read. And the key theme is that God is love. And all that's happened throughout the Scriptures is God's story to us, explaining and revealing what that he is love through all of those stories and all of those accounts. So Jesus, when he encountered the dismayed disciples on the road to Emmaus, he started right from the beginning of Scripture, of the Scriptures that they knew, Moses and all the prophets. So Moses obviously started, he wrote Genesis in the first five books that we know of. And Genesis is all about a beautiful God of love who, because of love, creates and creates us and the world for love. He creates us for love. He creates us for a relationship with him, to be wonderfully bound with him, communicating with him, relating with him, as was seen in the garden, and gave Adam and Eve this beautiful invitation to care for this earth in a way that he was going to show them how, and so that the world and humanity together could live beautifully together. But they didn't trust him, or they doubted, and we know that when the serpent turned up, they got caught off guard and didn't trust God and believed the lie. And so we went down that rabbit hole, and humanity kept getting it wrong. But when God saw his people in distress when they were in Egypt, and they were, again, full of dismay and hopelessness. Where is our God? We don't understand. God turned up in a burning bush to Moses and revealed who he was again. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. And even though this was written for a people hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it's so comforting to know that our God is a God that is near, that sees what we go through, and he is concerned. His heart is for us, and he wants our hearts to be open to his love. Neil was talking about how we can go through the motions, and God does want us to really understand and receive who he is. He's not far off. He wants for us to know he's near and concerned and wanting to do something for us. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Jesus, God is always wanting to rescue us out of being in this place where we don't know him and not relying on him and not living in the love that he has for us, to a place where we are and enjoying that place. He doesn't just take us out of our difficulty, but he wants to bring us into somewhere that's beautifully pleasant and delightful for our souls. And I think this little girl totally encaptures that. You know, God has brought us into his kingdom of light, which is righteousness, peace and joy. Can you see yourself like that little girl skipping, Simon? Struggling. I don't know how you're going to go being the bride of Christ, but you can be that little girl. Practice being the little girl first. Grow up to be the bride. And throughout the Old Testament, throughout the whole Bible, there's this consistent story of God's love for us. Through the prophet Isaiah, God declares his promise that he is going to come and rescue again, and he's going to come down again, just as he talked to Moses. He's not leaving us alone. And he prophesies the birth of Jesus. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So again, the Lord is rescuing us out of this place of sin and this place of darkness and separation from his love to his beautiful kingdom of love, which is characterized by peace, by righteousness and justice. And I find it interesting, you know, in Colossians 1:19, I think it says that God was pleased to have the fullness of the deity dwell within Jesus. And in that first part there, it says how Jesus will be called Wonderful Counselor. Oh, Counselor, I remember the Holy Spirit being called Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So you can see a picture of the Trinity there, of the fullness of God in the person of Jesus Christ. All of God comes into our history. And so when Jesus was on earth with his disciples, he explained to his disciples how the Old Testament speaks about him, but also that when he leaves the earth, that they won't be alone, that God, the Holy Spirit, will be with them and with us to help bring things into focus for us and to help us to see. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. I like that, because there's a lot to be seen, all truth. We think we know. We know some truth. We know a truth. But there's more truth, all truth, that he wants to open up to us. And I believe that's what he's wanting to for us to go into deeper and to press into deeper this morning. But I just wanted to follow on a bit more with the story of God in humanity working through us. So after the death and resurrection of Jesus, obviously, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit was poured out, and we read that in Acts. And we notice the amazing transformation of the disciples, those that received the Spirit. And so now the Spirit had come, and one of the disciples we see very clearly had really given Peter focus. He was seeing something now that he hadn't seen before because of the Holy Spirit. And he stands up in the midst of the great crowd that had gathered and speaks to them. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose. Set purpose. Now, that's a real change of heart and a change of mind, because on the road to Emmaus, they thought, oh, he's lost it all. They've taken his life. He's murdered. No, they know that God's intent is in this now. So he was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. So with the Holy Spirit, he could now start to see more clearly God's plans and purposes. How much more do we need the Holy Spirit for us to see God's real plans and purposes for us? But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And that's what we celebrate today. Going on. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David, seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. So it's great. Peter's now bringing in parts of the Old Testament. So see, all of it's showing you, pointing to Jesus. It's Jesus. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus is truly the King he claimed to be. And now he could see that extremely clearly. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" So when God's truth comes, and it comes with the power of the Spirit, those words that we speak become more than words, and they cut it deeply into people's lives and into their heart, and it causes them to respond in a way that they normally wouldn't. There's something more going on, and they see more than what they see. And obviously, this story is a Jewish story in Israel, but it's a story for all. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the beauty of what they're talking about is for us too. But the people's response to Peter was, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" A revelation from God should always require a response. What shall we do? Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We want to see people respond to the good news. And Peter is saying, turn to Jesus. Stop going the way that you've been going. Turn towards Jesus, who is the risen King and Saviour. Recognise that you need to, that you have sin in your life, that you haven't been following God, and turn to him. Talking about baptism, that's such a wonderful and important thing to do, because in it we're identifying with the death of Jesus and receiving forgiveness of sins, and we rise into new life. Again, this is all this understanding of an invitation and something we need to fully receive. It's not just going through the motions. It's not just information. It's something that we actually gain, a great spiritual mystery, that we are wonderfully forgiven, that we're washed clean, that we've risen to new life in Christ. And now we receive his presence in us through the Holy Spirit. And now we get to really see. We start to see life in reality, God's reality. We read the letters, the things that Paul wrote about, and we can see that he did this amazing turnaround in his life. And he was a man who could really now see who Jesus was. Jesus didn't die and stay there, but he's alive, and there's a consequence, and that's we are free. Paul wrote, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." How glorious that we are truly free, free from all the things that encumber us, free from having to do things that are wrong, to having think things are wrong, to feel things that aren't godly, that aren't godly. We're free from feeling fear and anxiety and free to experience peace and joy. And so as freed people, what should our response be? When we really recognise and see the freedom that we have, acknowledge it in our hearts and believe it through and through. Paul says this, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." We have a choice. He says, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies." So we do have the capacity to let sin reign. We do have the capacity to submit to it rather than the goodness of God, because we're under grace. And grace is the beauty. I think we see it so much and so wonderfully revealed on days like today, because Jesus, grace is all about Jesus paying for a death that we now no longer need to pay for ourselves, in order that we can live a life that we could never achieve without him. And we receive that and we know that through the Spirit. And we now get to choose. We started this morning by saying seeing is believing. But what are we really seeing, and do we understand it? It's only by God himself revealing his truth to us and our response of faith to that, that we can understand and see. So when we understand and see, when we really believe, that's when things really open up. That's when we see. It's only by really believing that we start to see. I remember when I first came to Christ and I didn't know that I was lost to begin with. But when I saw who Jesus was and said yes to him, I had this great sense that I'd come home. And I said, well, I never knew I was lost to begin with. I didn't know there was a home I needed to come to. But I could see. I started to see what my life had really been like and the life that he was calling me into. Hebrews 11:3 says, it's by faith, by believing, that we understand, or that we see, that the universe was formed by God's command. It's only by faith, by believing, do we really see. God has fully revealed to us what he is like through the person of Jesus Christ. His life, his death and his resurrection. When Jesus came as a suffering servant and lived out a humble and sacrificial life to serve God and others, he was not disguising who God is, but revealing who God really is. That's amazing. Because all of God, all the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus in bodily form. What a beautiful and amazing God we have. It's a seriously surprising and amazing story when we begin to understand this beautiful God. We get the full picture of God in Jesus. And when we read the Old Testament, it provides a blurry picture of God, but the New Testament puts our vision into focus through the person of Jesus Christ. So it's important that we read the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus. And as we do, we see that God is not this distant, angry and uncaring God, but he's so intimate and wants intimacy with us. He's close, he's personal and beautiful. So we have been given this gift of new life. We're free, we're new creations. We have this ability to really see now. And we have this opportunity and this invitation to help others to see. Jesus says, as you have freely received, freely give. And help others bring into focus our beautiful God of love, the one that we have come to know and that we see through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Because God wants all of us to be at home, come home to Him. So I'd like to spend time now for us to spend time in prayer and seeking God and seeing what He wants to show us. He wants us to see Him more clearly, even more deeply than what we have to this point. And so it'd be great for us to spend time. Maybe we could have a chorus or something of how beautiful the name of Jesus is. That one? What a beautiful name He is. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, as we sing this song, Lord, we're inviting You, Holy Spirit, to come. Come and have full sway. Lord, You open the hearts, the eyes of our hearts to see You more clearly, what it is You want to reveal to us today, oh God.